broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they
can't.
That's right. But we go there, and tonight we are going to have Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Margaret Gray is going to be joining him, and we'll be talking about this week's news. What's going to be happening out there is I want to have a talk with him about that. Ted is a sponsor of ours. We might as well get Mr. Bell up from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He is a sponsor of ours, and let's talk about this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And come down here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We have a hoodie-a-thon going on, and we'd like you to check out the Phil Hendry website as we sell the Ted Bell hoodie. Phil, we'd like people to be aware of the fact that we have the hoodie and that we are selling the hoodie and that it is in view of recent events and in view of the news, I think it's something that in solidarity people can purchase the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And I can see that you're wearing one tonight on the video cast.
Well, I am wearing the hoodie, but I wanted to ask you something. And Margaret Gray is there, correct?
Margaret's going to be here in just a few minutes, yeah.
I wanted to ask you this. I didn't know. I knew that we were going. I know that we're pushing the hoodie, and it's a great product. We've had it in our shop for the last few months.
We have, and it has sold very well. And the reason why I'm bringing up the hoodie now, though, is in light of, and I'm not going to mention any specific news story, because I don't want it to be seen as if we are taking advantage of any specific news story. I would just simply say that in light of recent events, we would suggest that people go over to the Phil Hendry Show shop and pick up one of the hoodies. And
all right, if we don't want to, can I interrupt and just ask something?
Clearly.
If we don't want to highlight any particular event, then why even mention that?
Why mention the what?
When you say, in light of recent events, why don't you go to the Phil Hendry Show? Here's the problem I have.
No, I don't have to say that, but I don't need to say that. I just want people to know that Ted Bell, that I have been selling the Ted Bell hoodie for the last few months in the Phil Hendry Shop.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. And I want people to know that. And
well, we've been promoting it, and the hoodie is a big seller. We've sold out a couple of sizes already. We've had to do a couple of reorders, so it's a very big and popular seller because people like your restaurant, Ted, and people like your the logo.
Right, but I think we in light of recent events, and I'm not taking advantage of anything. See, well, here's what I want to say. Okay, what is that? I want to say that we're not trying to take advantage of people's feelings. We're not looking to manipulate people's feelings. I wanted to have a hoodie-a-thon because I think it's a great Friday night, kind of product, a great Friday night kind of an event here from the restaurant. Margaret's going to come in and sing one of her songs, and we'll get the audience involved in the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, because people's minds are on it.
And all right, but again, there you are talking about people. Well,
at some point, we've got to just get on with the show and not talk about.
I would like to do that, but you've brought it up a couple of times, and I want to just make it very clear here that I don't want anything to be I don't want it perceived that we're taking advantage of a very sad situation to sell hoodies.
Well, the only guy that's mentioned it is you, Phil. And
no, you said in light of recent events.
No, I said in light of recent events. I didn't say taking advantage. I didn't see taking advantage. Well, I got to.
You didn't say.
I didn't say taking advantage of recent events. I didn't say. Yes, I did say that, but I didn't see. Why can't I say that word?
I don't know. Are you having? I hope you're not having one of those.
One of those migraines. Give me a glass of water, will you?
You all right, Ted?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just can't seem to say the word. There, I said say. That's what I want to say. I can't I don't want to say tragic. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, all right. Our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've been selling the hoodie in the shop, the Phil Henry website shop, for a couple of months now. So the winter months and the cold weather that affects most of the country is one of the reasons why we have that particular kind of a piece of apparel in our shop. When the summertime arrives, we're going to have other things. And now we have recent events. I did not really want to tie this in with that at all because I don't think that it's right. I think it's commercializing it.
Hold on, Phil. You know, you can't talk about me as if I'm not being here, as if I'm not here. I'm not commercializing anything, and I want to make it very clear to your audience, very clear. I'm not commercializing or taking advantage of any tragic event that may have happened recently that may have involved this kind of clothing. I'm simply saying that the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is in your shop, and we'd like people to go over, take a look at it if you'd like to buy it in solidarity with it. I won't say what it is. I'm not going to mention the news story.
How can you say in solidarity? With what, then?
I'm saying just in solidarity. With?
With what?
With, I'm not going to say what it is. But I wish we could get on the same page here, Phil, because we have an hour of radio to do together, and I want it to work, and I don't want to argue.
I don't want to argue either. I just want to be very clear. We're selling the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's got nothing to do with anything else.
It has absolutely nothing to do with anything else. I don't think it's fair of you to tell me that I can't speak a certain way.
Ted, I haven't told you to do anything. All I'm doing is giving my opinion.
Well, you've also intimated that I can't talk certain words. You're saying that I can't talk certain words. And
I haven't said you can't talk certain words.
Well, those certain words that you would disapprove of me saying, if you put them together, it would come out in solidarity with the recent news events in Florida. But you won't let me say that. And
you, as I said, you can say anything you want, as you just did. I'm just saying I'm worried about the perception.
The perception, Phil, is going to be fine. I'm Ted Bell. People have eaten in my restaurant. They know who I am. I've always had and engendered goodwill for the community. I think people enjoy what we do at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I've got a sterling, crystal clear reputation with everyone in your audience. And if I say buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded sweatshirt in solidarity with certain events, which I won't go into, people will respect me. And I believe that in order to help with that solidarity, whatever it may be, they will go and buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded sweatshirt. But I'm not going to commercially take advantage of the situation, no.
Well, may I say that you've done all but take advantage of it. And
what are you talking about now?
Because you've said everything other than what the thing is that we're all supposed to be in solidarity over. And so, therefore, I think you've...
Hold on for a minute. Margaret Gray is... Margaret?
Phil, hi.
Margaret, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We have a wonderful song picked out for the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. And I don't know if you want me to do it before the break or after the break.
Well, we can do it after the break if you want.
Well, it is a song that is about apparel. And I thought it would be very, very appropriate if I sang a song about apparel. And I'll give you a little a hint, Ted.
Go ahead.
You can leave your boot, doo 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 doo. Do you recognize it?
I think I do, yeah.
All right.
I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Is he combed it?
What, you got a tin ear? I don't understand.
Oh, I don't have a tin ear. I didn't...
You can leave your on.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. You can leave your hat on.
Oh, for God.
What are you doing?
Why'd you do that, Phil?
I didn't know you didn't want me to say it. I apologize.
No, that's why I said you can leave your blank on. I didn't let you to say the word.
I apologize. We'll take a break. We'll be back here with Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, along with Margaret Gray from Santa Monica, California, as we continue here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is also going to check in. We are selling hoodies tonight. the problem I have is that I'm afraid it might be commercializing something that shouldn't be commercialized. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Put the restaurant on hold, please. 877-876-7445. As Ted Bell tonight rolls out attempts to make a few dollars, I think it's a bad time to be selling hoodies. And I don't think, and I'm being very honest, I don't think anybody is going to believe that if you're selling hoodies now, no one's going to believe that you don't mean to commercialize something. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Ted, you there?
Well, I just heard a lot of music.
No, you're on the air.
Oh, well, we're on the air at Ted's at Beverly Hills.
I just heard you say GD or something. I heard that, bud.
What?
I just heard a GD. Did you dump that?
I'm afraid.
Well, why did that happen?
Well, first of all, because you said it.
I didn't know we were on the air. You told me to get ready, and the next thing I heard was a song being... I heard music.
Yeah, I had the music on by mistake.
Well, that's not my problem.
No, you're right. It is not your problem. But nonetheless, when you have a live mic...
Well, I didn't know. I knew the mic was live. I didn't know it was on the air.
Well, a live mic could be on the air, and you didn't dump it, huh?
No.
All right. Well, okay, great. 877-876-PHIL.
So in other words, I just want to be clear. The audience, the people listening to the program now, heard me say, take the Lord's name in vain.
Yes, they did.
Well, I want to apologize to everyone listening.
Roll the tape back, bud.
Don't play it again.
No, I just want to make sure.
But let me just say to everyone listening, I am deeply sorry. I've always... had a battle with myself and the language that I use. I've always tried to be much, much better, and I apologize for doing that, and I apologize certainly for using the Lord's name in vain.
Okay, what did you say? It wasn't there, Ted. Apparently you didn't say that.
You know, Phil, you're wearing my patience down.
I thought I heard you say GD.
And I didn't.
No, you did not.
So what am I apologizing for?
Well, it's a good question. If you didn't say it, then...
I didn't think I did say it, but you said that I did. So I'm apologizing because you said it got out over the air.
Yes, I did. I made a mistake.
Oh, man. You know, well, sit down, Ted, over there. Phil, I just sit down.
I'm telling you, I...
Just sit down up there. You go have a drink.
Yeah, I'm going to have a drink because, buddy...
I'm sorry. I thought I heard that. Bud didn't dump it, so, you know.
But what if I... Just sit down, Ted. Just go. Just get out of here for 5 seconds, will you? You're starting to bother me, too. Phil, the problem that Ted has is if he didn't say GD, and then he goes and starts apologizing and talking about the filthy mouth that he's had his whole life, and he never said it, he didn't have to tell... You see what I'm...
Yeah, no, I understand that. I apologize. I thought I heard him say that. If he didn't say it, he could have said that he didn't say it, you know.
Well, no, life isn't that simple. If you're on the radio and the host of the show said that you said GD, then that's what you said. Now, to all of the people listening tonight who are, I apologize if the sale of hoodies is a fact. I don't know that a lot of the people in your audience know what hoodies are, Phil. That's for starters.
Why do you say that?
Well, the late-night talk radio audience tends to be very rural, as you know, and a lot of those people just don't even, they don't get it. But to those people out there who know what a hoodie is, and you are interested in purchasing one of Ted Bell's hoodies, remember that they are available on the Phil Hendry website, but that there is no intention of offending anyone related to recent events, even though Ted stands in solidarity with most people and how they feel about it. Why are you quiet?
Because what you're doing is, you guys, I love this, it's like what they used to call in politics, the non-denial denial. You're saying that you're not doing something that you're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm letting people know that if they were thinking about the tragedy that I won't go into, because we're not going to commercialize that.
No, if you're thinking about the tragedy that you won't go into because we're not going to commercialize that, buy a hoodie in solidarity with the tragedy that we don't want to commercialize. That's really what you're saying. And that's what I'm trying to be.
Hold on, Phil. I got to do the song.
Well, wait a minute.
Hold on. I'm going to do the song. All right, everyone. This is for Ted Bell and Phil Hendry and the sale of the hoodies tonight. The Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Could you close the door to the kitchen, please?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Never take off your coat.
Yeah.
Real slow.
All of you people in the bar? Yeah, I'm over here. I'm Margaret Gray.
Take off your shoes.
And take off your pants. That's really what we're getting to, isn't it?
Take off your shoes.
And I'll take off your shoes while you slip off your pants. Take off your gloves.
Yes, yes, yes.
Take off your gloves. Yeah, love.
You can leave
your hat on.
You can leave your hat on.
You see what I'm doing there, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean, yeah? Wait a minute, kill the music. Kill the music for a minute. What do you mean, yeah?
Well, it's not my cup of tea.
Boy, don't you sound like the daintiest little Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
What does that mean, little Lord Fauntleroy?
I said little Lloyd Fauntleroy.
Little Lloyd Fauntleroy. That's a totally different guy.
What does that mean?
Well, you're all delicate.
Yeah, get real delicate. You don't like it, huh? She's singing about a lady taking her clothes off for a man. You understand what that is, don't you?
Yes, I understand what that is. What I don't like is the way she's singing the song.
You don't like the way I'm singing? Is that what your problem is?
Yeah. You can leave your hat on! What is that? I mean, God! Got a nosebleed.
Well, you got a pair on you, don't you? You know that I'm not the kind of woman that you mess with. You know that if I was standing there right now, I'd put the heel of a high heel right into your eyeball. You know that, don't you?
That's what I've heard. I don't know that I believe it.
Take it from me, Phil.
Have you seen her do that?
I haven't seen her do it, but I've heard graphic descriptions of it.
You better believe it.
Well, I don't think you're that crazy. I just don't think that you would do that. If you'd done that to someone, you'd be in jail.
Is that right? Who am I married to again? Oh, I'm sorry. A lawyer? Wow.
You don't get that, do you, Phil?
I don't think and I know Frank Gray, and he's not a criminal.
Phil, this has been anybody that has ever given me trouble, I take off a high heel, and I bury the heel in their eyeball. Now, am I making myself clear?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there you go. Good boy. Now, when we come back from this commercial break, I want people around their radio tonight to listen to the song that I've been trying to do for my very dear friend Ted Bell and the sale of these Ted Bell hoodies that have nothing at all to do...
Yeah, I know, with the tragedy that of recent events that we don't want to mention.
Bill, you're cheapening yourself. Every time you say that, you just make yourself look cheap.
No, Ted, what's gone on here tonight... And every time I got you guys on the air, you know, we're always into some argument about this because you have some very warped perception or warped definition of what commercialism is. I believe that when you sit there and say, we are not going to tie this into recent events, all you do is direct people's attention to it. And you make yourself look like you're commercializing it.
No, Phil, what I've been listening to, and I heard this as I was driving in, and Frank heard it too, I heard you, every time Ted just tried to blow it off and move on, you're going, well, now, Ted... You know, or it was more like, how was it, Frank? Listen, Ted. Yeah, that was it. Listen, Ted.
Oh,
It's pretty good.
We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, who's sponsoring?
Ted's of Beverly Hills. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And philhenryshow.com, Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies.
Phil Henry.
Wait a minute. We got to turn some of this music off, bud. What are you doing, man? All right. God. Steakhouse, come on down. You're on, Ted.
Yeah, thanks. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight to get the best steak you could possibly get. And in the meantime, visit the Phil Henry Show shop for your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Although, I don't know. I don't even think you've got any listeners left.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, every time we come back from a break, Phil, hey, bud, turn the music off. Hey, bud.
You're really right, Phil. Ted, go sit down again. You're going to get yourself...
I swear to God, if I stroke out over this...
Sit down. You know, Phil, he's really right. It's been very sloppy tonight.
Oh, is that right? Well, excuse me, but we've got a number of things going on here. All right, we've got a remote going on from Ted's restaurant. I got Bud Dickman, who's never the sharpest tool in the toolbox. And, you know, and then I've got you.
But what does that mean, I've got you? What does that mean?
Well, with that, you can leave your hat you know.
Look, I've got another song that I want to do. This one is clothing related. I'd appreciate it if you didn't start running your yap until I'm done with the song. If it's okay with you. Would that be all right with you?
That's fine, yeah.
Oh, well, great day in the morning. I get to get through a song. Here's one about wearing clothing, and I think the clothing that you people want to wear out there is your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. That's right. Go to the Phil Henry Show website, click on Shop, hit Apparel, and get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie in solidarity of recent events.
I knew you'd do that.
Quiet. Quiet, please. But you wear your hoodie well. A little old-fashioned, but that's all right.
Wow.
He wouldn't get in touch with me. He wouldn't even want to touch my knee or touch me over there. Here we go. You wear it well. There ain't a lady in the man so fine. Is that nice, Ted?
I love it.
All right, hold on.
What?
Hold on, turn it off. God almighty.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know, Phil. Have you been to a doctor? Aren't you in therapy?
What is wrong with you? What have I been to a doctor? Did you hear that? Ooh.
Oh, my God, you do need a doctor.
What is wrong? Why do you keep interrupting her?
She's flat. She's off key. The song, as I remember it, and as everybody else remembers it, is getting butchered alive as she sings it.
I'll handle this, Ted. I'll handle it, Ted. Sit down. Get yourself another cocktail. Jose, Mr. Bell, get him his Pimm's cup. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want the cucumber.
Get him the Pimm's cup with the cucumber. There you go. Go, you go over there, dear.
Pimm's cup, jeez.
Oh, is that gay?
No, I always figured Ted for a Scotch man, but...
Oh, I see. So he's not manly enough for you.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Bill, what I am doing as a professional singer, you should know this about me. I am simply improvising and escalating the rhythmic and harmonic possibilities of the song. So that when Rod Stewart sings, "Will you wear it well?" All right, we know that that's the melody, and that's fine, and that's all well and good. Great, we've been there, done that. Can we do something else?
Well, I was just...
Can we do something else?
I was just...
Can we do something else? So he sings, you wear it well, I do this, but you wear it well. A little old-fashioned, but that's okay. See, I sang professionally, Phil, for so many years.
That was the most horrific thing that I...
Are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous. What you just did there was horrifying.
You know, I hear that from a lot of women that are, for instance, the mothers at Jason J. Delmonico School. A lot of these, I call them clubhouse sluts. And they're jealous of the fact that I had a career in entertainment. So they'll say, Margaret, your voice sounds as if someone stuck a hyena's tail into a garbage disposal. And I'll say to them, why, you look at the little clubhouse slut. And they scatter off to their SUV. And is that what you're going to do tonight, Phil? So it's a real big joke, huh?
What's he doing now? He's insulting you, Margaret.
I've got it, Ted. Go back and... Jose, Mr. Bell's Pimm's Cup. There you go. Is that what you're doing, insulting me, Phil?
That was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. All the little clubhouse slut. What is a clubhouse slut?
You don't know what a clubhouse slut is?
No.
It means these are women that found their husbands by hanging around country clubs, by slutting it up in these country club bars and restaurants, or for some of them, like Sue Del Griffin, I don't want to mention any names, but she deserves it, literally hanging around the locker room door. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the stink and the disease?
What, are you talking about a clubhouse?
I'm talking about the locker room of a country club, yes.
The men's clubhouse?
Yes.
Well, what? I don't know that it's disease. I mean, you know, there's guys in there changing their club. Golfers are not the, you know, we're not talking about a bunch of guys that just got done playing rugby. You know, it's a sport that is not necessarily going to make you stink to high heaven.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the clubhouse slut that takes that infection and spreads it into every decent family in every private clubhouse in Palm Springs. So,
boy, I have no idea. And, you know, let me just say to my audience, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, I'm letting my... You can back off for a second, and we're talking with Margaret Gray here. We also have Ted Bell, who we're doing a live remote from the restaurant. Let's take our, you know, catch our breath here. And they are pushing the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Now, it's my feeling, and I could be wrong, but it's my feeling that the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, this is a bad time to tie any... You don't want to tie this in with anything that is happening in the news. If you want to sell the hoodie, that's fine, because the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie has been for sale on our website for a number of months. But to do some kind of a radio-a-thon where you say, hey, we have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, and it's in solidarity over recent events. I don't like it. I don't buy it. I don't find it to be tasteful at all. They feel that there is nothing untoward about it. I think there's some commercial. I think there's commercialism at its worst there. That's the argument we're having. And Mr. Bell obviously has purchased the airtime here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's get back over to Ted's of Beverly Hills. In Beverly Hills, California. Ted, I, my understanding is you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I do want to say something, since it is my remote broadcast, Phil. I don't think it's fair of you to say on your show that you feel we're commercializing this. I have said over and over that we're not commercializing. And if I say we're not commercializing something, then I have to say, what is it that we're not commercializing? Recent events is what I said. So that when we sell the hoodie, we don't want anyone to think we're commercializing anything, but we have to say it because they may think that we are.
Well, then why would you say purchase one in solidarity over recent events?
If they feel like they want to buy a hoodie in solidarity over recent events, am I the guy to tell them no?
That's a really good point, Phil. What's he supposed to do? Say, oh, by the way, don't buy a hoodie in solidarity over recent events.
Yeah. Keep your business. Please don't. If that's why you're going to buy one, don't do it.
Should he say that?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, he should.
Well, boy, are you... Wow, man. How did you survive the cradle? Honest to God. Were you born with your brain outside of your skull? Because I've heard of kids...
Okay, Ted. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand.
Well,
talking about? I'm going to turn away business. Why?
You're turning away business if there's anybody who is suddenly all jazzed about getting a hoodie over this terrible, tragic event that we're talking about.
Recent events is what I said. You're the guy that keeps wanting to allude to it.
I want to finish my song, if you don't mind.
That's fine. Now we got what?
David Hall.
David Hall again. This is the second night in a row with David Hall.
Well, I don't want to hear from him until I get to finish my song, and I was told that I was good. Now, I don't want to do You Wear It Well, but I just was using that as an example of the kind of harmonics that I'm capable of and that the song is capable of. But I do want to get deeper into You Can Leave Your Hat On. So, Bud Dickman, without further ado, let's hear that song. That's not the song, you idiot. You idiot. That's not the song. Thank you.
I don't think calling him an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
Yes, you are an idiot. That wasn't the song. Everybody, I'm Margaret Gray for the Peds of Beverly Hills Hoodie. David G. Hall is waiting, I know, on hold, but he doesn't get to come on until I sing the song.
Okay, can I say something?
No. Get your Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie.
And take off your shoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'll take off your shoes.
You take off a shoe and I'll take off a shoe.
Baby, take off your dress.
You take off your dress, honey, and I'll take off Frank. Take off your dress.
Okay.
Isn't that cute?
That's a riot.
Leave your hat on. I did there, Phil?
Yeah, what you did there is basically put a garage door up. Another one went up.
Oh, is that you, lousy?
Hold on for a minute.
All right, we're taking a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our remote live from Teds of Beverly Hills.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Keep your head on.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm gonna kill you, bud, if you don't turn that off, man.
Butchered my show.
Your show.
Ted here from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and if you haven't picked up your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, you probably won't now because of the developmentally disabled guy that works for Phil Henry who's carved my show up a new one. Thank you.
That was unnecessary, Ted.
Unnecessary? What do you think he's been doing the whole hour?
We have two sources of audio coming up on one pot.
That doesn't concern me. I'm not some audio guy. I'm a restaurant owner. Telling me your problems? I'm not interested in your problems.
It gets Bud confused.
Yeah, does it? Maybe you ought to get somebody else in there.
Shut up, Mr. Bell. I'm developmentally disabled.
No, you're not. Henry said you weren't.
He's not. He was injured in a motorcycle accident. So why'd you say he was?
Just to see if he'd bite on it. Now, look, Phil, I got one more shot. Margaret has one more song to do, and then we got to wrap up because I've got a convention I don't know what these guys are. They're businessmen from out of town. They're coming in. They've got a late dinner. We've got our prime rib room is reserved for these guys, and I don't know what they are. I don't know where they're from. I've got no idea, and it's scaring me, but they booked the room for twice the price. And have already come up with a 20% tip guaranteed, and they promised more. So,
so in other words, you got some money to make.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So, Margaret, I know that...
Let me say, Ted, why don't you get ready for these guys that are coming in, okay?
Don't say it like that.
Like what?
Well, you're saying get ready for the guys that are coming in.
I didn't say it anyway.
Well, you said it in a way like I'm going to be putting on a dress or something.
Oh, get out of here, will you, Ted, and do what you're going to do?
I didn't do it.
God. All right. right. Here is the song that I'm going to cap the evening with, Phil. You reminded me of it, and I can still remember standing off stage on Broadway. Out on stage was Christopher Plummer, as well as Mary Martin. They cued me. I came in wearing a taffeta gown and pearl slippers, and I sang the following song. I am 16 going on 17. I know that I'm naive. You're big and strong and joining the Hitler Youth.
Wait, wait a second.
Don't interrupt me, please.
Wait a minute. What song is that?
That happens to be from The Sound of Music.
You're big and strong and joining the Hitler Youth.
Yes. Oh, my God, he doesn't know the song.
Wait, I can't have that.
What do you want?
What do I want? I'm the owner of the restaurant.
I'm in the middle of the song right now, Ted.
Wait a second. I just got a new pizza oven in. You want to know what? Phil, you can tell her the hell I went through with a pizza oven, okay? I had to go through three different shippers to get a pizza oven that was not made in Germany. And if you think for 5 seconds I'm going to have you singing some horse whistle number.
And it is not the horse whistle. It is Sound of Music.
Well, what did Phil, they got a Nazi thing?
No, they don't have a Nazi song.
Well, did they have anything Nazi in that?
They got a the plot, the boy becomes a Nazi.
Who does?
The daughter falls in love with one of the village guys. It's a little village love affair. But he becomes a Nazi.
Well, what the hell is she doing? You can't have that.
It's Sound of Music, Ted. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it. I had no idea it had any Nazi subplots, or I never would have allowed it anywhere near my restaurant. You're telling me the one with Julie Andrews. I love Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I won't have that lousy goose-stepping slut anywhere near...
Whoa, dude. You're taking it all out of proportion here. What do you think it is?
What's this whoa, dude? What do I look like to you, huh? Some guy with a backpack on smoking a joint under a tree after school? I said I don't want that goose-stepping slut anywhere near here. Now, I used to love Julie Andrews, but not anymore.
And can you get him to lay down. Get him to lay down. My God.
You know, he's losing his mind.
Well, I don't blame him, the things he's had to put up with tonight. I am 16.
I'm going to use the bathroom.
Certainly. They have pushed me, Phil, out of the prime rib room because they're getting it set up for these drunks that are coming in later. I was in the main dining room. They've pushed me now all the way down near the men's room. This is where I'm having to do my song. I am 16. Yes, I know you knocked the phone out of my hand. Would you close the bathroom door? Because I can see you taking your pants off in there.
All right.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. They've got me in the hall near the men's room. I am 16 going on.
Sorry.
Door hit me in the back. I am... Oh. Oh! My nose. I am...
Forget it, okay? Forget it, Margaret, okay? Forget it!
Fill you up, Margaret. Her nose is bleeding. Get over there. Get plug her nose up. Stick something in that hole. Her nose. Yes. I can't tell you, Phil, but I got this big party coming in. Okay?
Look, Ted, can I tell you something?
What?
Sound of Music ain't a Nazi thing, okay? Do you understand? Sound of Music is it's a musical. It's only got one thing about Nazis in it.
What do you mean Nazis? I mean, you know my clientele, Beverly Hills?
I understand. But the fact is that in that play, the girl falls in love with a kid, and it's one of the tragedies of the play, of the musical, that the family escapes. The family has to escape because their beautiful, beloved Austria has turned Nazi, okay?
Yep.
And one of the people that they have to leave behind, who they thought was their friend, and he's turned into a Nazi, is this boy that the girl loves.
Well, what's the song, I'm 17 going on 31? What is that?
No. It's the girl and the boy are singing to each other. It's at a point in the play where it's a very innocent thing, and they're falling in love, and she says, I am 16 going on 17, and he's a year older than her, and they sing this song to each other about how he'll protect her and take care of her. What are you crying?
I'm very sentimental.
for the busy day.
Okay, Ted, I hope we sold some hoodies tonight, and I'm glad we cleared up that whole overly commercialized thing.
Now, let me tell you something, my friend.
You're really emotional over that, huh?
Very sad. I'll tell you something. There ain't nothing that we did tonight that commercialized anything or overstepped any bounds that comes anywhere near the fact that that woman brought into my restaurant tonight is sorry about a lassie.
You really got to get a grip, Jack. You talk about me needing a doctor.
I didn't say I didn't need one. I said you need one. That doesn't mean I don't need one. All right? What is that? That's music?
That's your music.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, but stay out of the prime rib room. We've got a real big party in there. They've booked the room through 2 a.m. Don't even go near it.
Well, that sounds welcoming.
You better believe it.
We want to put our meat in your mouth. And we're out of Ted's Beverly Hills. Okay, out.
Thank you very much, bud. Turn the phone. Get the phone out of here.
All right, and out.
Yeah. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. A couple more hours. Our news and information hour coming up as well.
I am 16 going on 17.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And on this show, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We go places that other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, because they can't. This is Radio for Patriots. I don't know what that means, but...
Sounds good.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, so join us, won't you? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And, of course, we are online at philhenryshow.com. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up for a backstage pass. And, by the way, you loyal backstage pass holders, you guys that have been with us for years, you guys who have just signed up with a backstage pass, those of you who may go over tonight and get a backstage pass, your loyalty is going to be rewarded very soon. That's right. So go over to philhenryshow.com. You can watch our live streaming video of the show right now on Phil TV in HD. 877-876-PHIL. 9/11 is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the tragedy of 9/11 right around the corner. To talk about this with us is David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication for our program. On the road tonight, David. And we just had Ted Bell on the air.
I heard that.
Did you want to follow up with any of that?
Upset that you leave the air and you go to commercial breaks, Phil. And a lot of times you'll go to a commercial break having just talked to the caller, and the two of you sort of make the point, and then you go to a break and you don't let Ted end the segment as if he made the better point. You see?
And so every segment I'm supposed to end with...
This is something that you should know as a broadcaster and with an advertiser like Ted Bell or any broadcaster with any advertiser, you want to make them look good. When you go to a break, having just told Ted Bell, I think what you said to him was something along the lines of, and I understand your feelings, Phil, that our veterans are not criminals and our veterans should be treated better than Ted Bell frisking them and thinking that they're going to have a, I forgot what he said, a flashback.
Yeah, he thought that any veteran that was concealing and carrying and concealing a weapon was likely to have a flashback and think his waitress is Taliban.
Right, I understand your point. But he is the sponsor. And in that instance, when we go to a stop set, the last thing that should be said is Ted being looking good. So he can say that and look good. And that's your job. I don't know what else to tell you.
And my job, I don't see my job, David.
Well, hold on, I'm just telling you. Don't tell me how you see your job. Tell me what your job is.
My job is not to let my sponsor go into a break feeling like he's made a big point on how veterans are criminals.
Well, see, you want to argue about this. The reason why I came on your show tonight was not about this.
No, I understand that, but I, you know, Ted, did he call you?
He called me as soon as he got off the air, and his point was a good point. He said every time you go to a commercial break, he is sitting there, and I think he used the term, in his own stench. Did he say that to you?
Yes.
All right.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, it means, what it sounds like to me is that in a room where there's a bad smell, you don't want to be the guy that everyone thinks created it. And Ted is saying that when you go to a commercial break, he's left looking like the guy that created a cloud of stench. That's what he said to me. I'm just quoting him. And
well, you understand that is an unreasonable. Everything that he's saying is very unreasonable. I have to be able to talk to my audience honestly, and I have to be able to talk to my caller and my guest honestly, and I'm certainly not going to allow what I think are ridiculous statements to be made.
Well, you know, it's your show. You can do what you want. I mean, the reason why I came on your program tonight is for an entirely different reason. Phil, you can do whatever you want on your show, and people are going to listen to you for Phil Henry. They're not listening to you for Ted Bell. I understand that. But I'm just saying, you know, when it comes to a sponsor, and that's what he is, and that's what the money is.
All right, I understand that.
All right, so
tonight, David, you're online with us as we look ahead to Saturday.
That's right.
Which is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the events of September the 11th of 2001. And we are planning on our show, as we usually do, and that'll be our Saturday night Los Angeles show, our local Los Angeles show. As we always do, we will be playing the sights and the sounds I shouldn't say sights, it's radio, but perhaps as we have our Phil TV and HD video cast going, we will show some of the newscasts and things like that.
No, I understand that, Phil. I think it's a good call. What I need for you to do for the national show, and that is our Monday through Friday show, and this is one of those areas where we always talk, and you are concerned that the audience is going to hear something. And again, you need to understand, the audience is very selective in the way they hear things. But I wanted to come on your program tonight and talk because I think it's very important, and I think there's broadcasters listening who understand this. I think it's important that you on the air on Friday night, it'll be the night before the actual anniversary, you reenact 9/11 as if you were on the air when it happened. And you can play a lot of the audio you've got.
Wait, you want me to reenact what?
I want you to reenact as if you were on the air when 9/11 happened.
I wasn't on the air.
No, I understand that.
I mean, it happened early in the morning out here on the West Coast. It was much, much earlier than it was back east. It was before 7 o'clock, I think.
Yes, it was before 7 a.m. out on the West Coast when everything was done, when the attacks had happened, when the Pentagon had been hit, everything. But I want you on your show Friday night here for the national show if you want to pre-record it, you can, but pretend like you were on the air.
No, okay, here we have another thing.
Let me finish what I want to say that I want to hear. Pretend like you were on the air. So reenact as if you were on the air when the 9/11 attacks happened, like you were there, and, oh, my God, I don't know how you want to do it.
Okay. We're on the air right now. My listeners can hear what you're saying.
No, Phil, I understand that, okay? Well, they're selective. People don't remember. I've talked to you.
Hold on. People hear you telling me that on Friday night you want me to reenact 9/11 as if I was on the air.
Yes, and the people that are listening right now are selective listeners. Everybody is a selective listener. By Friday night, they're not going to remember. But I want you to hear what I'm saying. You're getting me bogged down in a lot of stuff here.
And the people are listening to me right now, and they're listening to you right now, and they're listening to you saying, Phil, reenact as if you were on the air on 9/11. Do you want people to really believe that I was on the air on 9/11?
Yes, of course.
I wasn't.
I know that. I understand that you weren't. What I'm saying is we're going to reenact it as if you were.
So the historical record would be that I was on the air.
Well, I'm
Well, I don't know what you mean by historical record. Phil, you're not Thomas Jefferson. You're not Benjamin Franklin.
I know I'm not Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. I'm saying...
There's no historical record here. Okay.
There were people that were on the air when 9/11 happened. There were people that were on a radio. There were people that were on TV. There were people that were engaged in their professional pursuits, whatever those things might be. I was not one of them.
I know you weren't, and what I'm trying to do is to reposition the audience's perception that you were. Now, I don't want to argue with you. I want you to do this Friday night. I want you to have the audio ready. And I want you you're an actor. You were just in that movie, weren't you?
I was just in a movie, yeah.
All right, so you know how to act. And I'm asking you to, on Friday night, you're on the air, and then the 9/11 happens. And what we would do is, if we can rehearse or whatever you want to call it. Now, the audience is listening now. The perception of the audience will be the following thing. They heard something they don't remember. When you go on the air and you reenact, most of the people are going to say, oh, Phil Henry was on the air on 9/11.
That's not going to... Even if people bought it, okay?
That's exactly what we want them to do, because we need to position you as more of a... to be honest with you, we need to position you as more of a conservative voice than a lot of them. One of these things I want you to do is the name Phil Henry is too much identified with things that are non-political, and we can get into that. So what I'd like you to do now is...
Well, look at David...
Hold on for a minute. I'm not discussing this. I'm telling you. Do you understand?
I'm on the air right now.
I understand that you're on the air right now. I understand that. And believe me when I tell you, the audience, you don't understand radio audiences. They are not the geniuses you think they are.
And so they're not hearing you insult them right now.
I'm not insulting anybody.
They're not the geniuses you think they are.
Oh, boy. Radio... Even as I said that, it rolled over them. They don't know what it means. Just listen to me. I want you to do, before you take the break, pretend you're on the air and you're doing your show, and then you get the word that a plane hit the World Trade Center.
Am I going to rehearse this?
I'd like you to rehearse a little bit of it, yeah.
I don't know where to begin.
Phil, I don't have a lot of time, and I wanted to do this off the air. You're busy. Now pretend like you're on the air. It's September the 11th, 2001.
It's the Phil Henry Show. It's September the 11th, 2001, and it's early morning here in, on the West Coast.
All right, now you get the word to play. Boom, the plane hit.
Well, who's telling me?
Just you got the word the plane hit a building. Start again, if you don't mind.
You know something, David?
Start again, if you don't mind.
Phil Henry Show here. It's September the 11th, 2001, and it's a beautiful day here on the West Coast. And
well, it was a beautiful day on the East Coast. Hold on for a minute. What do you mean a beautiful day on the West Coast?
It was a beautiful day out here.
Well, I don't remember that. Go ahead.
Phil Henry Show here. September the 11th, 2001. It's a beautiful day out here on the West Coast. And
boom! The plane just hit.
Oh, my... Oh, boy.
Boy, is that what you're going to say? Oh, boy?
You know something, David...
Is that what you're going to say?
I did not know that I was going to be called upon to pretend like I was on the air on September. What is the point of this?
The point is, we want to have some actual audio of a guy that was on the air on September the 11th, 2001, who's a part of our company. You are that guy. You're worried about the audience. The audience will not remember because it's selective listening. I keep telling you this. Start again, Phil.
We got to take a break.
I know. Just one more time before the break.
It's Phil Henry and...
So let me ask you something. You're so concerned. Why don't you open up the phones? You can take phone calls. I'll be happy to talk to any of your listeners and to explain to them what it is we're doing. And explain to them how, if they find it offensive, how it is not offensive, and how they won't really remember. You want me to do that?
If we're going to be on here talking about me pretending I was on the air on...
Do you want me to do that, Phil? I can't have a discussion.
Yes.
All right. Then you give the number. You can have the people call. But in the meantime, I've got to do this.
All right. Our number is...
I want to roll through it one more time.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. As I am rehearsing, pretending that I was on the air on September the 11th, 2001. I find that to be disingenuous. It's not historical. It's not accurate. And yet Mr. Hall believes that no one is going to be upset because no one will remember whether I was on the air then or not. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Yep. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, as we are talking about the anniversary of 9/11 and how we want to observe that on our radio show. David, you have come on the program here tonight wanting me to rehearse a performance that you want me to give on tape as if I was on the air. I was not on the air.
I understand that.
And I wasn't on the air, and I don't understand, and if you'll just forgive me, I don't understand why it is you want me to pretend like I was on the air.
The reason why I want you to pretend, as you put it, Phil, that you were on the air is because we're coming from behind the ball on this one, being located in... I want to make sure that you get the patriotic brownie points, if you want to call it that. And more to the point, I want for when I send my salesman out to sell your show, when I'm out and I'm socializing and I am talking to people in the film business and talking to people in the television business, and they say to me, you represent Phil Hendry, and I say yes, and they'll ask, about the patriotic brownie point is what I call them, patriotic brownie points.
And patriotic brownie points from who?
The people that I talk to, I want to make sure that you were in a good and dramatic position.
But these are Hollywood people.
Yes.
Well, most of them are very liberal.
They're liberal, but they like the dramatic idea that you were on the air when 9/11 happened. And
is this to help sell the show?
You mean advertising?
Yeah.
Yes, it does that. It also is, these are contacts that I need if I'm selling a script or a...
So in other words, it's got nothing to do with my radio show. This has to do with your contacts in Hollywood,
No, it has to do with... What I'm trying to tell you is we need dramatic... We need a patriotic, dramatic point. And why do you... Let me ask you this, Phil. I think your audience would agree. Why are you being so... why do you want to be Mr. Squeaky Clean on this? You tell people you were on the air on 9/11. Are they going to think you are lying or telling the truth?
People, I think, give me the benefit of the doubt.
What does that mean?
I think they'll think I'm telling the truth.
That's my point.
I'm not going to lie to them.
Don't tell me you're not. I'm the guy out there on the point trying to sell your show.
You're the guy that has got contacts in Hollywood and that wants to make sure that you know people who are going to sell or buy your script or whatever you said. Let's go to a phone call. Brenda in Meridian, Mississippi. Brenda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
David, I can't
believe... Are these the people that called in?
These are the people you asked to call in, yeah.
What's that? Hello, go ahead. This is David Hall.
David, I could not believe that you would even think of making him lie. Like he was doing something, and it wasn't even...
Well, it's not a lie.
I listen to
this. It's not a lie.
And
it's not a lie.
Yes, it is a lie.
No, it's not, because what it is is...
It is a lie.
How do you figure it's a lie? How do you figure it's a lie?
We heard it on the radio, and we're not too stupid to remember it. We can hear
it, but we
don't forget that much.
So you're saying that this radio show is... We don't have the guts to be on the air during 9/11.
She's not saying that.
Say you
Excuse
don't
me,
have
let me
the
talk
guts.
To her.
I never
well,
said
you
didn't have the guts. I just said it would
that's
have...
What you, that's,
you would be very...
What
you
I'm
would
trying
be
to say
horrible if you even thought of asking him to do something like that when he's already said that he was not on the air. I mean, we
you
all...
See, you didn't know that. You didn't know that. You didn't know that until Phil said that. Had Phil said, He was on
the air. Nobody knows that he wasn't on the
air. Nobody does, though.
I'm not going to say.
Phil, would you, excuse me for a minute. Your name's Brenda? Brenda? Hold on for just a minute, all right? Phil, when I'm talking to a caller, I would like you to keep your mouth shut.
David.
I'm asking you to keep your mouth shut.
Hmm.
All right? All right, is the lady there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The caller there? All right. So, what are you complaining about? I said to him.
I can't even believe that he would even work for you.
What does that mean, ma'am?
You don't have any gumption. And no respect for what did happen on 9/11 to ask somebody. That is disrespectful.
I do know what happened on 9/11. Mr. Henry was on the air.
Disrespectful.
Ma'am, Mr. Henry was on the air, all right? Whatever you think.
You don't know that. You've already said he
yes.
wasn't.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
There you go again.
I just sit here and listen. I know he did.
No, he didn't because
yes,
I'm telling you that he didn't.
Yes, he did.
I did, David. I said...
Would you shut your mouth, Phil?
He needs to poke you in the mouth for telling him to shut his mouth. That's what he's on the radio for, is to open his mouth.
You know, I could make a joke here, and I'm not going to do it.
That's fine with me. I could take a joke, but I don't consider 9/11 a joke.
Okay. Well, I could say the same thing about you. What are you doing in life not to have your mouth open?
I'm sitting here...
David, I'm not going
to
have...
You're not going to tell me to hush.
You have something in your mouth. What did you just...
This is my quarter.
You said you had something in your mouth. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
So you come on this program. Yeah, I'll bet you do. And you come on...
All right, David, I don't need this.
I told you to shut up.
I don't want you talking to a female caller like that.
He doesn't...
Boy, listen to her laugh.
Heard worse.
Like, well, you're the one, ma'am, that came... Ma'am, you're the one that came on here and said, "Hi, I'm Brenda, and I got something in my mouth."
I didn't say...
Guess what? And win the prize.
I'm Brenda. I just said, yes, I'm Brenda.
The point is that Brenda is not going to...
Ma'am, I am trying desperately to get this radio show to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just... I want to say this. No, you didn't hear him say that. Would you please
hang up
on her?
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. Would you please hang up on her? No, you did not. When I ask you to hang up, I mean hang up.
Again, Mr. Hall.
No, you didn't.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for a live streaming video of the show. David G. Hall is joining us, our Vice President of Syndication. And we're having this discussion on the air, David, because you wanted to.
No, because you were very busy and
all right, I was busy and we agreed to this time. But what you're asking me to do, and I think it's a philosophical dispute more than anything else, you're asking me to reenact on Friday morning for consumption as if I was on the air on the morning of 9/11. I've asked you not to have me do that because it's not true.
If it was true, we would have the tape of you being on the air on the morning of 9/11. It's not true. I understand that. I want you to reenact being on the air on the morning of 9/11 so that we have tape of you on the air facing down the worst terrorist attack in the history of this country. This is tape that is valuable to me when we go out and sell your show, yes, and other things. And I wanted to have it. I think you took the conversation in a direction that I don't want it to go in. You're talking about my contacts in Hollywood and so forth. That's really none of your business.
Well, is it not my business if you're taking tape of me reenacting being on the air in 9/11 when I wasn't?
What? Say that again.
Is it my business if you're taking tape of me reenacting that I was on the air on 9/11 when I wasn't? And you're using that as some kind of currency.
It's my business to take tape of our talent to advertisers and to important people in the film and television business, yes, that I want to talk to and that I have potential production deals with.
And so this is all about you.
No, it's not all about me. And it's really unfortunate because you're not listening. I said to help with advertising on your show as well.
All right, well, there's two things going on here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Justin. Go ahead, Justin. The two things that are going on, by the way, is that you are selling this, you're sending this tape out for advertisers as well as your contacts in Hollywood. Go ahead, Justin. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's a pretty crummy situation that you're making here. I mean, you want to get a tape of them so you could sell it to your friends in Hollywood and then disguise it as advertising, and you think that the listeners are stupid enough to not notice?
I didn't say stupid. I said that as listeners, you are selective listeners, and so some things you have a higher intelligence for than others, yes. But it doesn't mean you're stupid in 100%. I'm not. One of the things I don't want to do here, Justin, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just saying.
I listen to this show is because it tells the kind of stuff that even most people don't want to hear. It tells it how it is, and so you're trying to tell me that I'm a selective listener and I want to hear what I want to hear, but I'm listening to stuff that even I don't want to try to hear because it's the truth.
Well, I don't know what you're saying.
So am I a selective listener if I'm listening to this show?
You're listening to this show right now.
Yes, I pay attention to this show because I want to pay attention to it. If I had selective hearing, I would just zone out everything I didn't want to hear. But if I'm listening to a show, I'm paying attention to it, and you're telling me
did you hear? Everybody is. Did you hear Mr. Henry say he was on the air on September the 11th, 2001?
I most certainly heard him say that he was not, and he thinks it's not right that you're selling his voice.
David, you tried to trick this gentleman.
Hold on for just a minute, Justin. I'm sorry, I got to do this again. I want you to shut up while I'm talking to the listeners.
David.
I want you to shut up while I'm talking to the listeners.
I can embarrass you all day long, man.
Are you going to embarrass me? Sir, I don't want to have an argument. I'm trying to tell you what. I want you on my side. I want you to understand that I've got potential production deals that are worth a lot of money.
So why don't you why don't you use your own things that you've done to actually get those production deals instead of using Phil's things to get them? Do you not have enough pull with these people to be able to do it yourself? Do you actually need help? I mean,
sir, when I go to a Hollywood producer and I say, look, I've got tape of what happened on the air on the morning of 9/11.
But you don't. And he says that's a lie.
I would really appreciate it if you...
You're basing your productions
right.
And all your friendships off of a lie, and it's not going to work.
On a lie, exactly.
Phil, if you say one more word, I'm going to tell you...
David, he's right. It is a lie. And the people in Hollywood or whatever you're talking about, you're telling them you have...
I told you to shut up. I told you to shut up. Justin, can I ask you a question, sir? Justin, what do you think about a guy that keeps on...
Phil just wanted to ask me a question. Hold on, let him talk.
No, he's not going to talk. I want to talk to you. And
I wanted to ask Justin...
I don't want you asking him anything. I'm talking to him. Justin, what do you think about a guy that won't shut up when you tell him to?
Well, I'm dealing with one because I have Phil trying to ask me a question and you won't shut up.
I told Phil to shut up.
I know, but I'm acknowledging Phil now, so if you would please
Phil
has a question.
No, you don't get to acknowledge him. Acknowledge me. I'm the vice president of syndication.
I'm going to ask him a question.
Ooh. Well, you know something?
What's the paycheck for that vice president job there, buddy? Is the money not enough? I mean, can the person who actually runs the show ask the questions?
Right now, I'm trying to tell my host what to do so that I've got at least a foot in the door of one of the biggest producers in Hollywood.
I've listened.
What's that?
Who cares? Why don't you, if you're the vice president, why do you need to
hear? Wait, you're telling me you don't care? Are you telling me you don't care that I've got a foot in the door?
No.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, I'm the vice president.
If you're the vice president of whatever you are, why do you need to use Phil Henry to get you pull with the director? Why can't
I need tape of a guy who was on the air on the morning of 9/11.
I wasn't on the air on the morning of 9/11.
Exactly. You missed out. Tough luck, buddy. Hope another one comes for you to capitalize on.
I hear Justin and I hear me. Did I just hear you again, Phil?
David, you can't shut me up.
Well, I'm telling you to shut up. And this gentleman that's on the phone right now doesn't understand what I'm saying because you keep butting in.
No,
I'm trying to tell this man.
I'm listening.
You don't understand. No, when Henry butts in, it confuses you. What I'm saying is this. I can get in the door. I can sit down and have lunch at one of the prime places in Hollywood with one of the top producers if I've got tape of a guy who was on the air on 9/11. Do you understand what that means to me?
So what if it means something to you? I'm not going to lie. And here's the question I wanted to ask Justin. Justin, when you heard us talking about this, you heard me specifically say I wasn't on the air on 9/11, right?
Oh, yeah, I've heard you say that multiple times.
And let me ask you something. On Friday morning, will you still remember that I said I wasn't on the air on 9/11, even as you hear me saying that I am on the air?
Oh, yeah, but I would hope that you wouldn't do that because that's just allowing him to...
Well, I'm not going to do it, you know.
Boy, you, Henry, you have just put your foot in it, and then you put the other foot in it. And what you've done, Phil, on behalf of this listener, you've humiliated me.
Dude, you humiliated yourself.
I don't know how I humiliated myself. Is the caller? I don't want to even talk to this caller anymore.
No, I like this caller. I think this gentleman is saying it. And
no, he won't listen to me, and he's sucking up to you. And
no, man, I just don't like it how someone who's vice president can have this huge attitude and then turn around and use someone like it's nothing and say that, oh, yeah, they were on the air.
I'm the vice president of syndication. Do you understand what that is? I'm over everybody except for the president. He's the only one that's over me. Okay? So when I tell him to shut up, he's got to... And if I say to you that something is blue when it's actually purple, you have to believe it's blue.
Yes, you do. You're telling me?
What kind of...
No, you do.
All right.
Yes, you most certainly have to, because I'm the vice president.
All right.
If you told me the Holocaust was not real, the Holocaust never happened, is that what you're telling me?
If I needed that, yes.
Okay, I've had about enough of this, man.
Oh, I get it. So that means I hate Jews now.
Yeah.
You know, and this guy's laughing. So you guys have turned this all around, and now you're making me Heinrich Himmler, because that just gives you a kick, doesn't it, Henry?
You know something? Thank you very much, Justin, for your call. It's a very good call. I have to tell you something, all right?
No, you're not going to tell me anything. What I had this all nailed down beautifully. I had this nailed down to the point where I was going to have you come on the air on Friday morning, and I'll say, we have a tape. When Phil was on the air Friday on September the 11th, we play it. You were going to...
Don't tell me you're crying.
Why shouldn't I cry? We play the tape. Bill Kaufman, one of the biggest producers in Hollywood, would know that I had to, and we were going to sit down and have lunch.
What has this got to do with me?
What?
The tape. Me lying to my audience.
You're not lying. Every time you say you're lying, then they go, oh, wow, Phil's lying. If you would have just said I was on the air at 9/11, that guy, Justin, wouldn't have taken 5 minutes out of my life. You understand what he did? He took 5 minutes out of my life. Out of valuable 5 minutes out of my life. And I had to explain things to him. And you came in and did what you do. Now I know why you got toilet paper there in the studio. You took a big dump on it, didn't you?
Hey, all right, I've had about enough of that. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God, you hung up on Mr. Hall.
Oh, my God, did I really? Whoa, my God, I hung up on Mr. Hall. Did I hang up on Mr. Hall? Hey, Robert, did I hang up on Mr. Hall?
Looked like it to me.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to call back and everything.
Let him call back. Is that him now?
Line 3, yeah, it says Hall's line, yeah. Should I pick it up?
Go ahead. I don't care.
Phil Henry Show, yeah, okay.
You ever, in the next 5...
There, I hung up on him again.
Boy, you know he's going to call back.
Let him. Let him call. There it is, right?
Yeah. Phil Henry Show, yes, sir.
I told you, the last time...
There, you want to see me do it again? And the more and more he calls, the more and more I'm going to hang up on him.
Phil Henry Show, yes, sir.
You there? David.
All I want to say is...
Well, why don't you let him say something?
I've been listening to his big fat mouth for 45 minutes.
Phil Henry Show. Yes, sir.
Why don't you grow up and...
We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876.
Phil.
Thank
Radio.
You.
Radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Hello. Phil Henry Show.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we're going to bring on Jeff Dowder with us here to talk about the this news that we had on Voyager. Jeff, I'm glad you came on with us. I appreciate it very much. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, Phil, and thank you for your interest in the NASA program and your interest in the JPL, and certainly your interest and your listeners' interest in the Voyager program, which has been ongoing since 1977. It passed Jupiter 2 years into the mission, and so you can see that it did reach a point in the solar system that was quite a long way from Earth, even within a two-year period of time. But the understand about it is that the Voyager was taking a course that was mapped out by NASA, that it was able to reach these planets at the optimum time, so it wouldn't take like 2 years. It would usually just take like 2 years to get to Mars or something, you know.
And so why did it take only 2 years to get as far as Jupiter?
Because, like I said, it was not trying to hit all of the planets and everything. It was going on a more of a direct route and everything like that. But you want to talk about Voyager and
this is a fascinating story of Voyager. The fact that Voyager now is on the verge of interstellar space. The fact that Voyager, and that means it's leaving the solar system, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's leaving the solar system, and when they say interstellar space, it's basically right what that means about it. It's between, interstellar space, which basically means that it is, like you were saying, Phil, between stars, and it's in an area of, it's in an area of the galaxy, or beyond a solar system, our solar system, where it's between the gravitational pull of our sun and the gravitational pull, say, of another star and any planets that may be orbiting that. So it's really sort of in that no man's land. But like you was also saying, there's other galactic elements. There's other, other astronomical factors like solar wind and like these hypercharged particles that you was talking about.
I think it's really interesting, Jeff, as I was talking to the audience, the fact that it's 11 billion years, or excuse me, 11 million years, 11 billion miles, you know?
Yeah.
11 billion miles that Voyager has traveled in these 24 years. That's a long way, and yet it's not even out of, or barely out of the solar system.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right when you were saying about how, you was absolutely right when you were saying about how, you know, even all of that space that it's covered, it ain't even close to being in any kind of a, what do you want to call, people with on a planet or some deal like that, you know, because most of what they've been talking about are people who are, most of what they're doing.
Okay. It sounds like you guys are hitting a bong there.
No, we're not. I'm sorry. Okay, most of really what is happening right now, Phil, has nothing really to do with any kind of hyperspace travel. I mean, it's just not going to happen, which brings us to the movie that you were talking about, which was Star Trek, the very first Star Trek movie.
Right. Now, that was a fascinating movie because they did, on some level, they dealt with the Voyager, the journey of Voyager, and what might have happened to Voyager.
Can you say that again?
You know what, Jeff? If you guys are hitting a bong...
No, I'm not. No, I am not.
Because I just heard it.
That is very unfortunate. That's Toby Bow, who's...
I don't know who Toby Bow is.
You want to... Okay, could you rephrase your question, Phil?
Well, it's not... Voyager figures prominently in the Star Trek movie, the first Star Trek movie.
What? Okay. God.
Would you get...
Get out of here, man. Get out of here. It does, Phil, and... Oh, wow, look at that. Is that ski jumping?
Hey, you're on the radio with me, man.
I'm sorry. There's a... Voyager, you know,
if you're stoned, man, then that's fine. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know.
No, I'm not. No, I mean, I'm talking to you.
Well, what is this? Hey, wow, is that skiing?
What?
Just tell me what's the thing with the movie? Not that I care.
Well, I wanted to point out that in the Star Trek movie, Voyager, which is what we're talking about, the satellite that has been sent on a, you know, out of the thing. That, man, what was I talking about?
You're talking about Voyager and Star Trek.
Voyager and Star Trek was, in the movie, Voyager goes out into space and comes back after having had some kind of sexual encounter with another race, okay? And it could be the Borg. I think that... that's the theory that has been, you know, floated, or it's been floating, you know, it's been floating out there about...
About what?
About how Voyager went in the movie Star Trek, Voyager went into interstellar space and somehow was abducted or, this is really what happened to it, I shouldn't say, it got raped by the Borg, you know?
Yeah, pretty much it.
Yeah, Toby, is that... Because Toby wrote a paper on this for his chem-ed class, and that's what he said, that the Borg raped it. So...
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
I'm talking about Voyager getting raped.
Voyager got raped by the Borg?
Yeah, the ones in Star Trek. And as a result of that, it came... Oh, man...
Well, you guys are hitting bongs. I can't understand anything you're saying.
Okay, let me just say it. It got raped by the Borg, and it came back, and then it raped one of the Star Trek crew members. It raped the captain. Is that right? I think. I don't know.
Phil.
Toby. Toby, what happened? You saw it. What happened?
Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. We have live streaming video. If you have a backstage pass, you're one of our BSP family. You not only have access to our video casts every night, you have access to thousands and thousands of hours of archived radio. You have access to all the other miscellaneous tidbits and goodies that we've got, like other archived video, as well as video rants, as well as audio rants, as well as character clips, and it goes on and on and on. We have more material, more media on our site than any other radio show anywhere in the world, and that's why it's worth it to get a BSP. Also, currently, we have the free Phil Henry podcast, so if you're of a mind to get the free stuff, which everybody does, check out the free Phil Henry podcast, and you can access that by going to the podcast link on our homepage at philhenryshow.com. But get a backstage pass, and you'll get it all, man. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Very, very happy to be with you guys this evening. And don't forget also our souvenir shop where you can pick up some Phil stuff, man. Father's Day is around the corner. I believe it's this Sunday. And I can't think of a better place to shop for Dad's Day than the Phil Hendry shop, because I know somebody out there, you got not just yourselves, you got a dad who likes the show. You can go to our shop and get any one of our CDs, our legacy CDs. We've got digital downloads of the CDs. We've got our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. You know, I got to hand it to Ted, man. He went a whole hour.
Yeah, he didn't say nothing.
Didn't say anything about his hoodie, although that one gentleman did bring it up. We have caps, we got t-shirts, we've got our shot glasses, we got our coffee mugs, we've got our Bobby Dooley keychains. It's all there at philhendryshow.com in our shop. Joining us this hour is a high school football coach, Vernon Dozier, and the reason why we have the coach on this hour is to talk about the Jerry Sandusky trial in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Let me get my glasses. The first witness in the Jerry Sandusky trial testified on Monday that the former Penn State University assistant football coach sexually abused him as a young teenager on campus and in hotels, and later sent him, quote, creepy love letters. The man, 28 years of age, was the first of eight people claiming to be victims who are expected to testify. Sandusky, 68, faces 52 criminal counts that he sexually abused 10 boys over 15 years, allegations that he has denied. His arrest and the fallout led to the departures of the university president and longtime football coach, Joe Paterno. Coach Dozier, longtime head football coach, as well as a social sciences and current events and history teacher at Belmar Academy. Coach, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Phil.
And you have written, at least you have partially written a book now, or you're in the closing stages of writing a book, based on the Jerry Sandusky story, correct?
That is correct, and it's a tough book to write, but I felt somebody had to write it. I don't particularly, I didn't relish it, but I'm not a man to stand on the sidelines, Phil, when I see something happening, and you have to make a point. And the point that I wanted to make...
What is the title of this book?
Well, the title of the book is something that I think needs to be explained before I actually tell you the title of the book. And the reason I say that is because it's a provocative title, but one that I feel very strongly is an appropriate title.
But you can't tell me the title?
I will tell you the title, but I want to explain before I tell you the title. If I tell you the title of the book, it's going to...
It's a jarring title.
It's a shocking title, yeah. I don't know how this Jerry Sandusky case is going to come out. I have no idea. What do I hope? I hope that justice will be served. Whichever way that goes, whichever way the wind blows, I'm not one of these people that... I'm not looking to profit or gain from anything on this trial. I'm a football coach out in California. This is taking place in Pennsylvania. But, I'm just hoping justice will be served. But I will tell you that one of the things this has brought up, and I've been gritting my teeth a little bit from time to time, watching the news come out, is that there is, like an attorney has client privileges, you know, attorney-client privileges, you've heard of that. And in the Catholic Church, there's the confessional. We have a tradition in our society, Phil, of sacrosanct places where what happens there stays there. There's that old Las Vegas, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, I'm not saying that it applies for Las Vegas, but I think it is true that there are places where things happen and people will misunderstand. I believe that's what's partially maybe going on with the Jerry Sandusky case.
Okay. What's the name of the book?
So can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll give you the name of the book, but I just, having said what I just said, it's very possible that we got to hear all the facts come out now, because we've only been getting them in dribs and drabs. And the reason why we're getting them in dribs and drabs is because I believe something has happened in the Jerry Sandusky case that should not have happened, and that is that there is the privacy of the locker room, the privacy of the gym. I'm not saying it's the same as with a lawyer. I'm not saying it's the same as a confessional, but there is a certain level of, I guess you'd call it confidence, a confidentiality. Because
why? Why in the profession of coaching and players, why is there this privacy, if you will?
Well, it's not really privacy. You call it privileged.
Okay, why is there that private sort of privileged communication?
Because first of all, you're planning on athletic contests, a football game, basketball game. You don't want any of the game plan to leak out. Secondly, your coaching techniques, your motivational techniques, the things you do to motivate your players, the things you do to train your players, you don't want those things to leak out. So there's a confidentiality based upon you having the winning edge, okay, Phil?
And, okay.
And I know I have, in my career, I have had people sort of look sideways at me when I've done some things, and I've said to them, you know, you're giving me that look. This is coach's corner. This is coach's privilege.
And such as what?
Well, I mean, you might again, this is what I'm saying. You have to understand the coach culture, the coaching culture. I don't know if you've got. I'm sure you've got coaches in your audience right now listening to this. They understand what I'm saying. But there's a coach's culture and a coach's confidentiality, where you're teaching and you're training. And
well, what you said that somebody looks sideways at you.
Well, if you're snapping a kid with a towel, it doesn't mean that you're having a sex encounter. You're snapping him with a towel.
So was that what you were doing?
Me even saying that, now I can hear the wheels turning in your head a little bit. Because what happens is, you're taking a shower. Do you wear your clothes in the shower? No, you do not. So you're naked. There's another guy there, and he's naked, and he's in the shower, and he's getting a shower, and he's, you know, and he's a player, and you're the coach. You take a towel, you snap it with a towel. What does that amount to? You put all of that together, what do you got?
Well, how old is the guy?
Well, he's going to be underage. He's high school. You know?
All right, so that's the thing. You know,
well, hold a minute, because you're going to start drawing conclusions here, and we haven't even gotten to the point. I'm talking about Sandusky. I'm not talking about Vernon Dozier.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't want to talk about Vernon Dozier either, but can I just say one thing here? You know, I was in athletics in school, and I took showers in school. I don't ever remember showering with a coach.
Well, the times are different. Didn't you tell me, Phil, that your kids take showers? When your kids were in high school, they took showers with their clothes on?
Yeah, I heard about some of the guys with not their clothes, but they would keep their underwear or keep their shorts on. And I think it's the result. I never really asked them why. I just sort of went, okay. But I think it's probably the culture, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of these kids are worried about, because of all the molestation stories, and the you don't press them. I mean, I think it's kind of silly to be showering with your shorts on. That's why I would tell guys, you know, I don't know why you're still wearing your shorts. You might as well nude up. When you say nude up, you know, and I tell guys, go ahead, 1, 2, 3, nude up. Because what I'm telling them is, it's silly to be showering with your shorts on, and nobody's going to be sexually interested. And so, you know, you got to get people back to reality. But what I was saying to you is...
Can I ask you, I have to take a break. What is the name of your book?
All right, the name of the book is The Crucifixion.
The Crucifixion, and it's based upon Jerry Sandusky.
It's based upon a fictional coach is based upon Jerry. It's based on a fictional coach that's based on... It's based on me, that's based on Jerry Sandusky.
And based on a fictional coach that's based on you.
It's based on some of my experiences, but when the Sandusky story broke open,
Well, you've never been arrested for...
No, absolutely not. Never.
However, you said that people have looked at you sideways.
They look at coaches sideways to try to get the last ounce of motivation out of a guy. When you got a guy that you know has got a rifle arm, and he's going to start a quarterback for you next year, he may be a freshman, but you know this guy can throw the ball on a frozen rope 60 yards if he has to. He can throw the ball right through the head of a defender if he has to. And we had a kid like that, a kid by the name of Barry Slauson. And I'm going to tell you something, Phil. I've had some great quarterbacks. This kid was beautiful. He was a beautiful thing to watch. You want to get everything you can out of that kid.
Was that the kid that you were snapping with a towel?
I haven't finished making my point, so I'm not going to tell you that either. So what,
all right, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to get the information out before we go to break, but let's take a break.
I can't give it all to you before the break, Phil, but I'd be very happy to talk about it.
All right, the book is called The Crucifixion. It is by Coach Vernon Dozier, and it is based on the Jerry Sandusky case. 877-876-PHIL. Coach Dozier is basically saying that there are things that happen in the locker room, things that happen in the sanctity of the locker room and the gym that other people just aren't going to understand. It has to do with motivating players. And is Sandusky the victim of some kind of a misunderstanding here? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
But you tell a guy to nude up, you ain't saying, I want to.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and very grateful to have you guys with us as we speak here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. We're talking to him about the Jerry Sandusky trial, and I think some very explosive stuff has come out of this trial already. The very first person to take the stand for the prosecution was a man now 28 who testified that Sandusky wrote this kid, wrote him as a young man, creepy love letters, as he described it, that he sexually abused him as a teenager on campus and in hotels, and things don't look good for Coach Sandusky. With us here is Coach Dozier, who is saying that there is some sort of a confidentiality in the locker room and the gym that's been violated here, and that Sandusky may be the victim of misperceptions, correct?
I'm not saying that he is. I'm not saying that he's innocent. I'm not saying any of that. I'm calling the book The Crucifixion because if Sandusky is the victim of these misperceptions, then he is going to be, I'm not calling him Jesus Christ, but he's going to be hung out to dry and people are going to have their jollies, which is what happened on the crucifixion. I'm not trying to say he's Jesus Christ, okay? I want people to understand I'm calling it the crucifixion because he's going to get crucified. I mean, he's going to be dragging a cross up the hill, and they're going to beat him bloody. See, it's probably a bad title, but...
Well, it's a title you're banking a lot on because you sort of build it up. You wouldn't tell me the title's name.
I wouldn't tell you the title's name.
I mean, I wouldn't tell you... You wouldn't tell me the title of the book.
That's correct, because... You're right. We have put an awful lot into the marketing for this book. This was the idea of one of the editors, actually one of the main publishers. And I said, well, if you think so, but it's a tough one. But I think that if Sandusky is innocent and this is just a misperception.
Okay, I want to ask you about that.
Then I think he's going to, by the time they finally do nail him to the cross, he'll be probably worse off than... Shouldn't say, but he'd be worse off than Jesus was. But
all right, I think we're getting a little heavy with that crucifixion, don't you?
Well, like I said, I didn't really like the title.
Well, it's the title of the book, and you're getting too far into a religion. You don't compare him to Jesus, but that's what you're doing.
No. If I did that, Phil, I apologize.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier here about his book about Jerry Sandusky, and
well, now you don't want to say the title of the book. And that's not...
All right, the book's called The Crucifixion.
All right.
And it's about... It's a novel, right? It's a fiction.
It is a fiction book, but it's based on... It's based on real, you know, things. And
it's based on what happened to you. Now, you mentioned...
Well, yeah, what happened to me... Nothing happened to me. I didn't get arrested. But
these misperceptions or misperceptions, these things that people saw but didn't see...
Hold on for a minute, Phil, just so I get this straight. When you understand, we started this out saying that a lot of kids don't shower with their clothes off because they're afraid, and I don't think that that's hygienic, so we'll tell them to nude up and get in there. Now, occasionally, if I've been out and I have been doing, I might be hitting the iron, I might be, lifting weights, doing some squats or what have you, yeah, then I'm going to go into the locker room and I'm going to, I'll go through that process with the players. But I'm not standing there you know, looking them up and down or any of this stuff. And
well, you said you snapped some kid with a towel.
That someone saw. I snapped a guy with a towel because he made some. See, here's the thing. I didn't do nothing, but I snapped a towel because it was there. Have you ever snapped anybody with a towel? You know that it's a choice opportunity. And
yeah, of course I have.
Who?
Well, my brothers. My brother, I snapped, in the locker room, other guys.
Okay, so it's a rare opportunity when someone is standing there and you can really nail them.
But Coach, we're talking about you are an adult male and you're with underage boys in a shower. And
this has got, I'm not talking about sex. I'm saying if a guy is standing there and his ass is right, excuse my language, but, you know, he's turned around, he's talking to somebody, and there's his ass. Are you trying to tell me you're going to pass that up? Maybe I come from a different world than you, but.
Yeah, pass what up? What I'm saying here is, of all the stuff that's going on these days, why would you take the chance?
Because it is a way of bonding in the locker room. This is what coaches do. This is how we get the teams motivated for the next sports season and to get them ready to go and to get into the championship of the go and go. Whatever sport. It could be football, could be baseball. I coach all kinds of sports at Belmar. I am whipped. I mean, I'm telling you, I am as tired a man as today as I ever was because I'm coaching three sports. I coach baseball, I coach football, and I coach soccer. And Belmar Academy, maybe they think it's funny. Maybe they think I'm a Superman. I don't know what it is, but they haven't given me any help at all. So if I'm standing in a locker room taking a shower because I can't get one lousy day off, you see, and I put that in the book, in the crucifixion. That's part of it. Sandusky was probably overworked. So he turns around, and a guy is presenting you with a golden opportunity. And
What is the golden opportunity? So you can snap him with a towel.
Yeah, so you snap him with a towel. And, I tell you.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to have a phone call here, and then we're going to take a break. But we're talking here with Vernon Dozier. Belmar Academy, the football coach there, social sciences teacher. He's also a member of the board. And we're talking about the Jerry Sandusky trial that opened up. Let's go to RC in Altadena. RC, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
First of all, great show as always, Mr. Henry. We're enjoying it always at Belmar Academy. And I want to address my comments to the coach.
Am I talking to, are you a high school student?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm in a military academy.
All right.
Yes, sir, I want to address my comments to you. Well, first of all, did you say that you snapped a guy with a towel in the shower in the witnessing of other people, yes or no?
What do you mean, yes or no?
What is yes or no?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but did you say that you snapped a kid, did you snap the towel on his, you know, on the buttock?
Yes, sir, I did. Let me say, R.C., you're a high school student.
Well, yes, sir, that means that I'm kind of in the wheelhouse of what you're saying.
When you say in the wheelhouse, you know.
Well, hold on, guys, we got to take a break here. R.C., call. Just hold on, R.C., we have Coach Vernon Dozier with us, as well as we talk about his book, The Crucifixion, based upon the Jerry Sandusky story. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Did you snap the kid on the buttock?
I'm not for the 15th time, yes I did.
Yeah? Did it give you a thrill?
I love her.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Teacher Vernon Dozier joining us, educator from Belmar Academy, as we talk about the Jerry Sandusky trial in Pennsylvania. I think it's yielded, obviously, some extremely dramatic, no doubt damaging testimony for the Sandusky defense, the very first witness in the trial, the former Penn State University assistant football coach, sexually abused him as a young teenager on campus and in hotels, and later sent him creepy love letters, identified in court papers as victim four. The witness said, quote, soap battles in the shower.
That's an interesting comment there.
Okay. Let me just finish this, Coach.
Those soap battle, that you can get, I'm telling you, more coaches have been burned down to the ground. I've seen more guys get burned.
Well, I mean, what does that mean, more guys get burned?
Hold on, I'm talking to the host of the show now, young man.
Well, let me finish this, and we have R.C. Collins from Belmar Academy on the other line. Hold on.
I'm not on the other line. I'm called from my own phone.
What does that mean?
I know that.
Well, when you say I'm on the other line, it's like I'm at this guy's house, and I'm using the bedroom phone.
Oh, bro up, will you?
No, I'm sorry if I misspoke.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, when you said I was on the other line, it's like I'm at Coach Dozier's house, and I just, you know, I'm using the pool phone.
Is this guy for real? Because I'll tell you something.
Yes, he is. All right. I apologize. I misspoke.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask again. Is this guy for real?
Yeah, Coach, I'm for real. Why would I not? Why do I want to sound like I'm on the other line, like I'm at your house, and I'm toweling off, and you said, oh, go ahead and use the bedroom phone.
Toweling off? Let me tell you something, young man. I have never, ever, ever been accused, nor have I ever been guilty of inappropriate actions with anyone.
Yeah, but you just got done saying that you towel snapped the kid's butt because it was a sweet target.
I did not use the word. Mr. Henry, are you going to jump in here? Or?
All right, I'm trying to read the rest of this, okay?
Yeah, but didn't he say that?
No, I did not say that.
No, I didn't hear him say a sweet target. I did hear him say that, you know.
Yeah, he said when opportunity knocks.
Are you listening to this guy? I never used any such terminology, Phil. I said that when you're in the shower.
Okay, well, what did you say?
I said when you're standing in the shower.
Well, first of all, you said you nude up.
Can I finish, please? Yes, we had nude up because the guys, you're in high school. Do you shower nude?
Well, yeah, that's none of your business, sir.
Young man, I'm a coach. Do you shower nude?
Yeah, that's none of your business, sir.
Okay, we're just trying to find out how prevalent it is for high school students these days to shower still wearing their gym shorts. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's none of your business, Mr. Henry.
Okay, fine. So what's the point of your question?
The point that I'm trying to make is that a lot of guys, as Mr. Henry just said, you know...
That's unusual for you to call your students, you know, guys, like you're, hey, you know, that they come to your house...
Boy, this guy, you know, you're...
All right, would you let the man finish?
Okay.
I mean...
Go ahead.
God, what's wrong with you?
Young man, if you were one of my students, I'd walk over to you and I'd close a fist and I'd go ahead and just loosen some teeth.
Yeah, I bet you'd do something in my mouth.
Boy, this kid's really asking for it, man. You really want $300 worth, don't you?
Every penny...
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
The first witness, and Jerry said...
What are you laughing at?
You really want $300 worth, huh? All right.
Every penny.
Okay. The first witness in Jerry Sandusky's trial testified Monday that the former Penn State University assistant football coach sexually abused him as a young teenager on campus. Now, hold on, Vernon, before you tell me about the confidentiality of the locker room. The man, now 28, was the first of 8 people claiming to be victims who were expected to testify. Sandusky faces 52 criminal counts. Now, nowhere in this story do I see anything from the Sandusky side, the defense side, saying that there was a misunderstanding as to the activities of the coach.
Phil, that's what Coach Sandusky's been saying. Is that my car? I just saw my wife go by in my car like a bat out of hell. How do you like that? What Sandusky's been saying from the beginning, Phil, is that it is totally misunderstood. Like me snapping that kid with the towel. And even tonight on your program when I said, okay.
You said nude up. Right away, I got a problem with that.
Why?
Yeah, that sounds pretty gay to me.
Hold on, RC, all right?
Yeah, this guy, if I got to talk to him, I swear to God, I'm going to go nuts.
Hold on. When you say that there's some kids that shower with their shorts on, and so you say to them, nude up.
Yeah, it's to tell them to take their shorts off so they can get a full cleansing, you know, shower.
Yeah, so the water can get down into their, yeah.
Okay, RC, be quiet.
Yeah, because I'm getting pissed.
Well, I bet you are getting pissed. Yeah, let the water run free down your crack.
Oh, man.
All right. Put him on hold. Put the kid on hold, and we'll just talk to Coach Dozier here for just a moment, all right? All right, so what I'm saying is this, Coach. What is this misperception that you're talking about when you say nude? Right away, I got a problem with that.
What's your problem?
My problem is you're getting in the shower with them.
I told you I'm out. I'm hanging and banging out there, man. I'm doing weights. It's the only time of the day I can do the weights is when we're doing the morning gym class, or sometimes we're doing two-a-days. It's the only time I can do my weight training, okay?
All right, so you're out there doing... I thought you're supposed to be teaching there, coaching the kids.
I am coaching the kids, but they know what to do. So, in any event, if I'm in there and these kids have... We've gone to 1-2-3 nude, which is basically what we call it. You know, if you guys are not going to shower... The way a human being showers, by stripping it all down, strip it down and strip it off, then, you know, we've got some problems. So 1-2-3, nude it. All right, now they're nude. And then I tell them, let's get in there and scrub away. So if I'm doing an inspection, that makes me some kind of a pedophile. And
oh, my God, man. I mean,
I thought I told you to put him on hold.
Oh, sorry.
That's the most...
If I have to hear that guy's voice one more time, I'm gonna have a stroke, all right? Because just the sound of that.
Continue.
So, when I'm doing the inspection, what do you mean continue? So you're going to make a big deal out of this, huh?
What do you mean inspection?
If you've got high school students, Mr. Henry, that don't know... I got kids that come in there, they don't even know how to shower. They don't know what a shower is. They've never taken a shower in their lives. But can you believe that? Because we do an awful lot of helping impoverished families. So I've got kids that come into that locker room that they don't even know what running water looks like. So when I say to them, take a shower, and oh yeah, take that soap and that scrub brush and get down in there, and you know what I mean by that, they're looking at me like what? Like I'm speaking Chinese. So sometimes we'll go ahead and lift them up and get up, you know, I mean...
Oh, my God. I don't like any of that, all right?
Are you a teacher?
No, I'm not a teacher, but I'm a parent. I don't like any of that.
What? So now I'm on trial like Sandusky.
If you guys are doing stuff like that, if you're doing inspections on how a guy is supposed to shower, get up, you know, lift him up and get in there and all that stuff, wrong, man. Wrong, 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 wrong. It's not cool, and no wonder people misunderstand.
Well, even if it looks bad, do they have the right to misunderstand to the point where it's a crucifixion on a Saturday night? That's what I was going to call the book, but I decided not to because I thought it sounded too, I don't know, it sounded like a some kind of a joke, you know, like Porky's or something like that. And
you're going to what?
Are you listening to what I'm saying, Mr. Anakin?
Yeah, you're going to call the book Crucifixion on a Saturday Night because it sounded too much like Porky's?
Yes, I did.
All right, let me get R.C. Collins back in here so I can get this. And we also have a lady on the line. We've got Bobby Dooley, right? Okay, so we'll get to her in a moment. But R.C., question for you as a student. Have you ever had a coach say to you, hey, here's how to scrub your privates and here's how to take a shower because you come from an impoverished family?
No, sir, I've never had a coach do that ever in the history of my life. And for Coach Dozier, and I was listening off the air, as was Buzz Gunderson and Chris Sorensen, two of the senior cadets here at Bradley Military Academy, and also Stoney Michaels is here, and he, too, has made a full record of some of the weird gay stuff that the coach is saying.
Okay, there's nothing, you know, you better, I told him to tell you to watch it, okay?
Yeah, and he told me to watch it, and that's what I'm doing.
And watch with the gay stuff.
Well, sir, I'm just saying, if you was to come down the shower to me and say, okay, nude it, and then you're telling me how to scrub my... First of all, I had testicular cancer, okay?
All right. We've got a lot of kids who've had injuries.
All right, I've only got one testicle.
Well, I don't want to make a joke, but that's, you know, less work for you then.
Ha, ha, ha. That's real funny, man.
Okay, Coach, you know,
Oh, my God, I can't even make a joke.
And if I had a coach come down the line and say, yeah, get lift it up as opposed to them and scrub it, I'd feel humiliated and I'd feel bad about it.
Not here to make you feel bad, okay?
No, you're just here to snap a towel if my butt is ripe.
I never said it. You know what? I'm going to hang this phone up, and I'm going to tell you something else. I feel as if I have been abused. I feel as if I've been attacked. I feel as if I have been misunderstood on purpose on your program, Mr. Henry.
All right, look, let me, R.C., thank you very much, because the coach, I want to keep him on the air, all right?
Well, I think if a guy says to me, you know, lift it up, the one that you still got.
Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls here and Vernon Dozier. And we're getting a little sidetracked. These coaching techniques, these things that help coaches relate to athletes and students, the privacy of the locker room and the gym, I don't believe in it. I don't get it. And if that's what Jerry Sandusky was doing, no wonder he got into trouble. And no wonder some of these things that Coach Dozier is telling me are as weird as they are. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back after these messages.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Anybody tells me to nude up, she better be real pretty.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy talking about the Jerry Sandusky trial. And of course, what we're hearing here is based upon a book that was written by Vernon called The Crucifixion. And you were going to, it was Crucifixion on a Saturday night. Why that title?
It was my feeling that I wanted more of a rhythmic title. I didn't think The Crucifixion was going to, I think people would have thought it was going to be about, you know, a religious book. And it's really, in my opinion, it's not about the crucifixion on a Saturday night at Jerry Sandusky. It's about a guy, a fictitious coach. And I call him Dan Jaronski, so it is based on Jerry Sandusky, but I took the D from Sandusky and I put that on the front name, and then on the back name I took the J, so his name's Dan Jaronski. But he coaches for a school back east.
Which school?
It's like Pennsylvania University, it's not Penn State. And
all right, so this is barely a fictionalized account.
It's total fiction. But what I'm saying is this, all I'm trying to say is the following thing. You know, the crucifixion on a Saturday night means here's a guy that's working overtime, trying to do the best he can for his athletic program, working 6 days a week, 7 days a week. And on a Saturday night, when he finally gets some time off and he wants to cool off with a nice cool shower, he takes a towel, he sees a kid standing there, bare ass. I don't know anybody that tells you you're not going to wind that towel up as tight as you can and do a lightning fast snap is a liar.
An underage kid, you're standing in a shower on a Saturday night, and
there's no sex going on, Mr. Henry. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I understand, but the situation itself would be inappropriate. That's what people would say. Let's go to a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Stephen. Stephen, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Vernon Dozier.
Hey there, Mr. Dozier. I don't seem to understand where you're getting off thinking it's right to pop an underage child with a towel just because he's bare-ass naked in the shower in the same gym room that you're in. What makes it right? If I was my kid, I'd come over and whip your ass in a minute, dude. I'd come over there and be
talking about
cold.
Well, then I'd have you arrested.
Have a good reason behind it. You should be arrested
okay.
for popping a kid with a towel. That's simple assault.
Oh, wait. Excuse me. Have you ever heard about just pop? You've never heard about popping a guy with a towel? You never did that?
But it's not somebody else's child that's underage in high school, and you're a coach, and you're going to pop him in the bare ass with a wet towel? I'd have you locked up for simple assault, my friend.
All I'm trying to say is you're taking this way over the line, man. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
I heard exactly what you said. You just asked us all out here listening to you. that right. if we had the opportunity to pop a bare ass kid in the ass with a wet towel, we wouldn't take that opportunity. I beg to differ with you, my friend. I would not do that because that's not my kid. If I was my own child, let you so. You know how to find
Well, what if you knew him? What if you knew the kid? What if he's like him?
Whether you know him or not. It don't matter whether you know him or not.
If it, what I'm saying is, what if you knew the kid and it was cool with him? What if it was cool with his parents?
Wait a minute.
Who in their right mind is going to say it's cool with their parents? How stupid do you sound, sir? That is about the dumbest thing you could have said all night long outside of you want to pop this kid in the ass with a towel.
What I was saying to what I said to Mr. Henry and what I said to you and all the people listening, is, are you kidding me? You got a towel wound up tight, and there's the kids. It's there for the taking. You ain't gonna go for it.
No,
you know everything. You're
for the taking. What makes you think it's there for the taking, sir? Would you want?
I don't mean what you think. I don't mean what you're thinking. You think when I say for the taking, you think I want to take that. And well,
I'm just saying, I'm just telling you what you're talking about. Would you appreciate it if somebody, such as myself or Mr. Henry for that matter, would come in that same shower with you and pop you in the backside with a towel? Would you like it?
I wouldn't think it was bad. I'd say, hey, cut it out. I ain't going to go to the police, call the police.
Would you like it?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't like, but I wouldn't go call the cops. I'd probably wind a towel up and try to get you back.
I don't think we're not talking about adults. We're talking about you and a kid. That's the part.
That's right.
And the fact that you called the book Crucifixion on a Saturday night.
That's another thing that really kicked me off. Why would you call it Crucifixion? Where's the Crucifixion at in this?
Because I think when they get done with Sandusky, if he's innocent, they might as well go ahead and hammer him up. Use him as
if he's guilty, they need to take care of their business that way,
Exactly. If he's guilty.
I'm saying to you, he could be innocent based upon this, based upon what I said, the sanctity of the gym.
And the sanctity of the gym.
There's no sanctity anywhere except for in church, my friend. Don't get those words screwed up. The locker room is not a place to say sanctuary.
I didn't mean to say that. But what I meant, like a lawyer. You know how they got lawyer-client. You know they got lawyer-client privilege. I'm saying that.
And no, there's no such thing, especially when you got young people.
Mr. Henry, would you quit interrupting me? Both of you guys are interrupting me, and you won't let me finish.
But you're talking about minor children. If you're talking about a lawyer and a client, two adults who enter into a contract, and then there is an ethical obligation on the part of the lawyer to keep those conversations private, that's one thing. There's no ethical obligation on the part of a coach.
Excuse me, but there's an ethical obligation not to go squealing what the game plan is for Saturday afternoon.
What's that got to do with snapping a guy's ass in the shower?
Right.
If I'm trying to motivate my team to get out and kick some ass, and I say, all right, let's nude it, you know, because you guys are wearing your shorts, nude up, scrub it up. Now, forget it. See, you guys are going to think that's all inappropriate. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's very inappropriate, my friend. I mean, if I was one of your students, which I'm, thank God I'm not, I'm too old to be, I would have your ass reported to the Board of Education in a hurry. Okay.
See, this is what I'm trying to say. I don't understand what you guys are. You guys are coming from
all
wrong.
It's not your right, whether you like it or not. It's not your right to pop a young child in the ass with a wet towel. Period. I don't care who you are.
Even if it's for motivation. Even if I'm trying to motivate him for Saturday afternoon.
How are you going to motivate some kid by popping him in the butt with a digging wet towel, sir?
What's your...
I told you I had this kid,
Brad Samuels, who is a young quarterback. He's going to be the best. And we had a big game coming up against Tulane and the academy, and I popped him 5-6 times in the ass.
What did that do?
You think that motivated him? You probably pissed him off. Well, I wouldn't call it motivation. I probably pissed off.
What kind of game did he have?
He had a lousy game. You want to know why? Because they told me.
Yeah, because he popped him in the ass 6-7 times with a towel. He probably couldn't run right.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what it did.
Yeah, that's probably what he probably thought. He had a coach that was nuts. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Yeah, thank you, sir, for your call. Very good call. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I thank you, Coach Dozier. And good luck with the book.
Yeah, well, the book is D.O.A. Dead on arrival. Thanks to you.